All right, folks, get ready to fast 10 your seatbelts. God, that's corny.
No wonder they didn't use it.
We're talking Fast and the Furious 10.
X.
Oh, man. X.
That was awesome.
Welcome, everybody, to the Salty Nerd Podcast. Today, we are talking about the newest film that we all saw, Fast 10, starring everybody on the planet. I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Jude is here. What's
Hello.
Up, Jude? How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah. Are you? After
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Right on.
I had a great time.
I'm glad you did. And the hardest working nerd on the planet, Matt Decatur, is also here.
You know, I've seen every single Fast and Furious movie. And even I have questions about this. Yeah.
And our stunt cock for today, Tom, is here. What's up, brother?
I want to make it clear that everybody from this podcast asked me to watch this movie. And it wasn't until Alex said he's going to pay me to go see it that I was like, all right.
He's like, Tom, I'm texting him. I'm like, hey, bro, I need you to watch Fast 10. And he's like, I've never seen any of them. I'm like, I'll pay for your ticket. And he's like, fine.
And Matt Vader just flat out refused.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not
doing
it.
I don't blame him for refusing for that. It was.
He's like, I got better things to do.
He does. I mean, that's a legitimate reason.
He's all about his actual family. I give you a lot of credit, Tom, because you've never seen any of these. Yeah. You went in on the 10th installment, and you're here to talk about it.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's why we call you our stunt cock.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Just act like you're into it, buddy.
That's here for y'all.
Slap you on the ass and get you in the theater. Perfect.
Oh, it's not queer or nothing? That movie was really good.
I don't know if it's something queer or nothing, but Jason Momoa was doing something in this movie.
I don't know what Jason
Momoa. I don't know what he was doing.
Can we
either.
Get into this? Because I have could, so
I would
many
love to. I'd love to.
It's ridiculous.
All right.
Are you
Jude,
ready for my synopsis?
I would love to hear your synopsis, please.
Hold on.
Okay.
Buckle up for this one, guys.
Mm-hmm. 2023, Fast 10. Baba Voss has a real boner for revenge. He's determined to make Riddick suffer, and he's targeting his whole family. Uncle Peacemaker and Little B jump in the Ecto-1 and head down to Porcajol to do something. I forget what. Uncle John Cena kills, like, a lot of agents and fires blindly into crowds of civilians, but it's probably fine because this movie teaches us no one ever really dies in the Fast universe, and I can't wait for the Paul Walker hologram in the next movie. Also, Letty and Cypher are trapped in Antarctica and have to make their way back to Dom 1/4 mile at a time. Discuss.
You know what's funny? It's like... You know, when you say, like, no one ever dies, even people who actually die don't die in this movie.
Yeah.
Because Paul Walker's character is still alive in the movie.
And
what?
That was my question. Yeah, so Paul Walker died in real life, unfortunately. That was a terrible accident. But his character in the movie just kind of, like, rode off into the sunset.
Paul Walker's still alive. He works at Ace Hardware in Montana. Swear to God. They dyed his hair black. You would never recognize him.
With today, I mean, they even did it in whichever one that was a Fast 9 or Fast 8 where they did like the send off. They had his brother sit in the car and then they just CGI'd Paul Walker's face. They could technically still do that for a whole movie.
Yeah.
Like he could make a
comeback. They're going to.
You think so?
They went to space in a car.
I like that one better though.
I did too.
Fast 9 was so
superior.
I
loved that
Fast
one.
Yeah.
So, Fast 9. Is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. So I think what happened, and this is
Don't
my
you
theory.
Shake your head at me.
This is my theory. This is my theory. Well, he hasn't seen Fast 9.
I'm just absorbing the information that there was a good one. there was a good one.
Tokyo Drift wasn't bad.
Oh, Tokyo Drift sucks.
No, it wasn't bad. Okay. I like that. Anyway, so for Fast 9, I went with my best friend Justin. We went and sat down, and we died laughing. It was so enjoyable to sit there and just laugh at the ludicrousness.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ludacris. Yeah. And like,
pun intended. I don't know.
So like, that happened. We went. We laughed the entire show. We were like, that was freaking so funny. And they were self-aware enough in that movie that the tone matched the ridiculousness of the movie. Mm-hmm. And it felt like everything kind of came together. Like, oh, they know what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And in this one, the tone was so serious, but everything else around it was so ridiculous.
Everybody was serious except for Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa was having the best time.
The best. Yeah, he was painting his fingernails, doing all kinds of crazy things.
He's talking to dead people.
That was a funny scene. That was comical.
Drink your margarita. I'm going to have somebody come bury you in a minute.
The fly is on his eyes, like crawling around. I'm like, this is freaking hilarious.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like that part?
No.
I didn't like Jason Momoa's character.
No. It doesn't make any sense.
It's dumb. I didn't like his like pseudo homoerotic thing that he was doing.
No, it was like a faux Joker.
Yes.
It was like a faux Joker the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think he dressed himself. I think
probably. Yeah.
Those were literally just his clothes.
Oh my god, the matchy-matchy with the car.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Lavender, yeah, baby.
There was a scene where like his outfit matched the color of his car.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he had a purple scrunchie.
And he was wearing loafers and sandals.
I mean, do you guys remember from
just like a genie half the time?
Yeah. From season two. He had a pink samurai outfit.
Yeah.
So,
His favorite color is pink.
This is Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Can I be very clear on how much I hate Jason Momoa? I hate Jason Momoa more than any other actor. I mean,
why?
Because he's Jason Momoa. He's done nothing good ever.
How is that any different from like
Khal Drogo 20 years ago is the only thing he ever did good.
Excuse you, sir. Stargate Atlantis was very good.
Who was he in Stargate Atlantis?
He was Ronan.
Who is what?
He's the dreadlock wearing kind of like Klingon-esque
character. Came in season two.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Mm. I'm talking about cinema.
He was excellent.
Not television. Okay, we're talking about cinema.
I disagree.
Oh, you just mentioned Game of Thrones.
So. That's the only time he was cool. The other time he's awful in everything. I just feel like he's the kind of guy that shows up in those same clothes and barefoot to a restaurant.
Yes.
And he's just like...
Have you not seen the behind the scenes?
Eating raw beef with his hands. Bro. And you're just like, what is this guy doing? And he's like, I'm fucking wasted. And you're like, okay.
So have you not seen the behind the scenes from the Fast 10 movies?
Like I haven't seen any of the Fast movies. Why would I see the behind the scenes?
On Instagram and stuff. Anyway, what point do you think
I look at it? I don't even have Instagram.
Yeah, you're on Facebook. You shut the hell up. They're the same thing.
I only have Facebook to comment on my friends.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Anyway.
There's shaking for me.
There's videos of Jason Momoa walking around in like a traditional Hawaiian like assless chap thing on set. Just be like, hey guys, what's up? I'm friggin' Jason Momoa.
That's why I hate him.
That's him.
That's why I hate him.
This is who he is.
And that's why I hate him.
Okay.
I hate him for who he is. That's it.
So, but in this movie,
it's like George Clooney. I really hate him, but no matter what, I can't hate him. Because he's just so damn charming. Momoa is not charming.
You don't think the gay Joker in this movie was good at all? No point in time where you were like, okay, I see what they're doing.
I'd say he's more metrosexual Joker.
No, he was just... I'm not putting his...
Know why it has to be gay.
Yeah.
He's just very, very flamboyant.
His sexual orientation never came to mind, even once. I think he's asexual. He doesn't even do sex. He just does... At not one point did I think he was intelligent. And he's got this like giant worldwide global scheme going on. No. And he is obviously an idiot.
The movie doesn't make any sense.
The only reason it worked because he stole a hard drive from Charlize Theron.
Well, you know what's funny is that so.
Yeah, he knew all. I hated this
movie. Yeah, we got that. Yeah. Momoa's character. So like Momoa's been on record as saying like that this is his favorite performance. And it really just seems like he knew that the movie was ridiculous. And so he was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah. It seems like they were like, all right, Jason, just go out there and do whatever. But, and he was like, great.
Yeah. But the thing is that every time he was on screen and he was doing like the jokey like kind of quasi Eisenberg / Ledger performance with like the villain.
Yeah. The Lex Luthor thing.
The Lex Luthor meets the Joker type thing.
Yeah.
Every time he was doing that, it took me out of the movie.
Mm.
And then when he would get serious and he'd actually
be
a villain.
Yeah.
Then like I was back in the movie. And so like every time he would come on screen, he would always start off with like the kind of jokey like Luthor Joker type performance. And I'd just be there. I was like, man, this is bad. And then like he'd get like all serious and be like, ooh, this is
good. Yeah, it's like every time he was on screen, it would progress from like he's just goofing around being a weirdo to then Dom shows up and like throws a wrench, pun intended, into his plans. And after that happens, then he becomes serious villain Joker. And I'm like, oh, I like that part. I completely agree with you because there's like a switch halfway through where he stops joking and he's actually intimidating and kind of cool to watch. Like, there's that... One of my favorite scenes in this movie is when they went back to the drag racing thing. They went to Rio de Janeiro or whatever, and they were doing a drag race.
And everybody just shows up in Rio with a car.
With a car. Like, just who cares how much it costs to ship that thing? Maybe he's just got it in a garage there anyway. But he shows up, and they're doing the whole drag race thing. That was my favorite part of the movie because I feel like it was Fast and the Furious. Like, that's what I wanted to watch. So there was a little bit of that in this part, and I really liked it. But that he was the jokey kind of weird character that he's playing for the first half of that. And then once they get on the racetrack, then he's like "Ooh, watch this." And he's flipping buttons on people's cars with bombs. And I'm like, see, that's a cool villain. Like, yeah, I get it. And no setup whatsoever. I have no idea how the bombs got there. I don't know how he rigged it to his car. Like, there's no explanation for anything in this movie.
Correct.
So don't go in looking for a story. It's just, it's a slaction movie to a T.
Like you're wondering where the cars came from? Oh my God. I'm wondering where the airplanes kept coming from. Dude. They kept transporting these planes all over the world.
Yeah. And who was flying them?
I don't know! I asked that question three times.
It's like when
Jack Reacher landed by himself in a plane, I said, who the hell's flying that plane? He's just sitting at a desk in the back, and he's like playing Minesweeper. And he's like, and we landed. Thank you.
Like, Jack Reacher.
Yeah, that guy. So funny enough, so Jason Momoa, you know, he plays Aquaman.
Right.
But the actor who plays Jack Reacher, who's also in this movie, he played Aquaman in Smallville.
Is that the same dude?
Yeah, the same dude.
Oh, wow.
Blue Mountain State. He's in a whole bunch of... He's like a kind of quasi-bad guy and everything.
I still think
Tom Cruise is Jack Reacher.
No, God, no. No. This guy's...
Amazon's Jack Reacher.
Yeah, Amazon's... Yeah, back, yeah, it was way better than Tom
Cruise. He was Hoss, though. I mean...
He was fine. He was fine.
Yeah, he was okay. He was actually one of the better parts of the movie.
Sure. I mean, that scene between him and Brie Larson was a pill to watch.
Every scene with Brie Larson was so bad.
Oh, boy.
Took me out of the movie every time she was on screen. And then that scene where she meets Michelle Rodriguez, and Michelle Rodriguez is like,
game recognizes game.
Oh, God!
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
So bad. But listen, that scene where... Okay, so we have to set this up a little bit. So
who wrote this?
Who knows? AI. AI wrote this movie.
I would 100% believe that you put all the original movies...
Yes.
And then write it from a 12-year-old boy's perspective who has not hit puberty yet.
Listen.
And write the next movie.
Here's my theory. This is my theory. It's going to be like a Lego movie moment, okay? Here's my theory with the entire Fast and Furious universe. It's all...
About family.
It's all a dream from a 12-year-old boy with a box set of Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah.
And he's just in his mind playing out
these
scenarios.
He has action figures.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. And that's the whole movie. On the finale, in the third trilogy of the finale of these movies, it's going to flash to Dom's kid playing with a bunch of Maxbox cars, and Dom is still in the garage with like a shitty car wrenching it on, and his kid's like, this is what I imagine.
He's got a belly.
Yes. Yeah, he's fat.
And an ankle monitor because he's still in the crime.
The Homer Simpson comb over.
The whole thing is just his kid's dream about what his dad is actually doing when he's gone.
His dad's friends and how cool they are.
Yes, that's my theory.
Wow.
Anyway, it's a good theory.
Uncle Paul Walker's out there too.
Sure, sure. And they're all got beer guts. Yeah. Every single one of them.
Yeah, no one's sexy.
No.
No.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, okay, so we have to set up the Jack Reacher Brie Larson thing.
Okay, so before we set up the Jack Reacher thing.
Okay.
So basically, this movie retcons Fast and Furious 5. It starts off with like a flashback where basically Dom and Paul Walker's character steal a safe.
Yeah, that's from the vault.
So like that's from Fast and Furious 5. The main villain in that movie ends up getting killed, and then like Jason Momoa is his son, who wants to get revenge on the family that killed his family, even though like Paul Walker's just as responsible as Vin Diesel.
He waited 5 movies to get his revenge.
Exactly. And if you wait till the end credit scene, it wasn't Dom at all.
Well,
wait, you waited?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I left immediately.
Oh, you didn't see the end credit scene?
No.
Oh.
So there was a mid-credit scene. Is there another one after that?
What? I saw a credit scene.
You stayed through both credit scenes?
No, I saw one.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we all saw the same.
Okay, good. Credit scene.
But basically this movie kind of continues with like the Fast and Furious formula where basically every new villain that's introduced wants revenge for something that happened in a previous movie.
Uh-huh.
And so like this one it's you know in Fast 9 Dom's long-lost brother, played by John Cena, was the bad guy.
Uncle Peacemaker.
Yes, Uncle Peacemaker.
That sounds right. Uncle Peacemaker is accurate.
Yeah. And so now he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, like all of Fast and Furious's like main villains have become good guys.
Cypher. Cypher's on board with them now.
They have a beer at the barbecue and they become family. The they explained thing. It.
Yeah. So, but Momoa.
It's a cult.
Yeah, Momoa refuses to go to the barbecue, and therefore he wants to get revenge. And so this movie
he hates. What is it? Dos Equis that they?
No, it's Corona.
Corona, yeah.
So basically, this movie picks up with Jason Momoa hitting Cypher, played by Charlize Theron, who was kind of like the head bad guy for like the last couple films. Mm-hmm. And she goes to Dom for help, and that sets into motion a series of events where basically Momoa is revealed to be the bad guy, and Dom has to go and save his family, who's out in Rome doing a rogue operation that turns out was like a big setup, and hilarity ensues, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So Brie Larson plays the daughter of Kurt Russell, who was like the leader of the agency.
Mr. Nobody.
Okay, that's who Mr. Nobody is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Young nobody lady.
Yes. And Jack Reacher plays the new head of the agency, and she's like just working her way up the ladder.
And what's weird is that, so Scott Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's son,
mm-hmm.
plays Little Nobody, who was like Mr. Nobody's like right-hand man. And he's at the beginning of this movie, and he jumps out of his car in Rome, and we never see him again.
That's true. He never came back.
Like, he's the guy who could come to like the council and be like, hey, we were set up. Dom's innocent. But instead, he just kind of like fucks off in Rome. And
Don't think about it too much. We have to get to Gal Gadot.
Okay. Oh, my God. On the freaking nuclear sub for some reason.
Spoiler.
Oh, if you didn't know, there's going to be some spoilers. Oh,
well, yeah. Fair.
No one's ever really gone in the Fast and Furious franchise.
It's true.
It's a fact.
Well, my least favorite scene in this movie was watching Jack Reacher, who the actor's fine as Jack Reacher because he's quiet and stoic, and he doesn't have that many lines because the actor's not that good. And then Brie Larson, who's not that good of an actor, but everybody wants her to be a really good actor. The two put in a scene by themselves surrounded by blue screen is awful. They're reading lines like literally off of a tablet behind the other actor, and you can see their eyes moving. And I'm like, Jesus, this is so bad. That was the worst scene in the show. Like,
well,
that
the
was
funniest
so
scene was when Brie Larson, she goes into like a bar to find Dominic.
Oh.
And she picks a bar fight, and the bartender just out of nowhere
throws her a shotgun.
He's on her side, and she never met her before, and she's like, Thanks, random bartender. I'll have two beers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
after
she kicks the ass of like 12 guys, like mm-hmm. twice her size.
She's like, I'm looking for somebody, as if she doesn't know where he is. And then when she finally looks over, and Dom's just there sipping on a beer in plain sight, not hidden at all. And she walks over, she's like, I was told I could find you here. What? Why did you ask the bartender then?
Yeah, why didn't you just walk in and then go over to him?
You had to fight four guys.
She had to... Street cred.
Yeah, she had to establish dominance. Yeah,
I mean, game recognizes game.
Yeah,
yeah.
But she picked the fight, right? She walks in and she did stuff to like instigate a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just so the bartender could help her out.
You know what? Honestly, I feel that's exactly what Brie Larson would do. Probably. That's a total Brie Larson move. Probably. Just walks in, slaps the shit out of somebody, breaks a bottle over someone's head, and goes, "I'm looking for." Oh, there he is. There. Thank you.
Two beers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck the patriarchy.
Hey, Utah. Like, give me two.
Yeah.
When's Keanu Reeves going to show up in one of these movies? That's what I want
to
know.
That sucks. Don't do that to us. Everybody else is in this movie, but it's nobody good. It's like
it's all B-level
actors.
It's
all B and C-level. I mean, Ludacris isn't even an actor. Tyrese isn't an actor.
These are the only movies those guys are in.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
The only movies.
And they gave him a lot of money for it.
Oh, sure.
It.
Yeah.
Listen, Ludacris goes in on the first because he's never been defeated and he won't stop now.
Okay. Fair enough. Did he come from Tokyo Drift or was he in the second one? Tyrese was in the second one.
No, they were so Ludacris was too fast, too furious, as was Tyrese. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Too both fast, too furious.
They're in the second one.
Can we get like a serial killer board and just start putting strings and connecting all the dots?
Yeah.
And make this movie make sense to me?
No.
Can we do that?
It will never make sense.
After the nuclear explosion mm-hmm. happened in Rome, I turned to Jude in the theater and I said, "This is getting a little bit too furious for me."
He
needed to be held.
So I have two legitimate questions.
Okay.
Okay.
One.
Oh, this guy texts me yesterday and he goes, I have so many questions.
Oh, Jesus.
And I thought we were talking about something else. I was like, oh, Mrs. Davis? Because the finale. And he was like, no, Fast and the Furious. I was like, oh, do you need to ask them to me today or do you want to talk about them tomorrow? And he's like, I don't even know how to put them into format.
So speak of peace.
Yes.
Is the agency bad guys?
So the agency run like Mr. Nobody's agency.
It's like
right?
Black Ops.
For who?
Well, okay, so nobody knows, right? They're supposedly like gray area. So like sometimes they do good stuff, and sometimes they do bad stuff. But when they do bad stuff, they're doing it for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good agency, and I'm bad agency.
So whoever's in charge everybody is either good guys now or bad guys now.
It depends on the plot.
Because they killed a lot of agency people.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say the good guys killed more good guys than the bad guys killed good guys.
Yes. Dude, listen, nobody dies.
No.
This movie's PG because nobody dies.
I saw the guy, Jason Statham, put a machine gun to a guy's neck and just blow his head off.
He's fine.
Yeah. There was heads removed in this.
Dude, do you guys remember the scene where there was a man inside of a punching bag?
Can we not talk about that till later? Because I want to really savor that. I was really,
we can save it.
I want to build up to that. Because you just fucked that whole joke up. Because it didn't. What the?
Nobody died.
What was it? What's happening in there? Was that a gay sex thing?
I don't know.
No, that was not a gay sex
thing. Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure. Because
I've seen Ted 1.
Shaw.
Apparently what gay guys do is they get beat up by other gay guys. And that's like a thing.
Shaw isn't gay.
I didn't call him gay.
No. So it's not a gay thing. It was a torture thing.
Well, maybe nothing gay about getting your dick sucked.
Maybe he's being paid to beat that guy up.
Because of gay stuff, right?
Sure. Yeah. Maybe.
Like, what was happening there?
But I don't know. But my point.
And then
was,
he came out with four teeth and tighty whities and just ran out. So and everyone's
that,
like,
that scene is a reference to an after credit scene in a previous movie.
Oh Jesus! I had no idea.
Wow! I didn't realize that this is so layered. Matt, please explain to me this scene.
We're talking about cinema.
Yeah, I know. I know now.
Well, film.
Yeah, well, I mean, the character of Shaw, right, played by Jason Statham, he was like a main villain for like 2-3 movies. He got his own spinoff with The Rock, Hobbs and Shaw. And I believe it might have been the last movie or the movie before last. But he's been absent from the films for like 1 or 2 movies ever since the spinoff. And there was an after credit scene in one of the movies that just showed Shaw, you know, doing that punching bag thing. And they just took that scene and put it in this movie and expanded upon it. So, like, that's
just a little bit.
Wow, well, there it is.
That's the layer.
Yeah, done. Man.
Yeah, but to answer your question, the agency is this kind of, like, nebulous, like, it doesn't really work for anyone, but, like, it's kind of, like, on its own thing.
So what you're saying is there is no answer.
Yes.
Correct. They're kind of just there to serve the plot. Like the Fast and Furious movies went from like a street crime series to a ridiculous James Bond style superhero with cars franchise.
Oh no, don't worry. They spent exactly 30 seconds explaining the entire story. These guys just used to be fun old fashioned street racers, and then they got into high speed heists, and now they're in space.
Now they're international. Yeah,
and you're like, well, at what point? Wait. Did he use two helicopters to kill two helicopters and then hit a bunch of guys off a bridge and then use the other helicopter to hit the other car and then free his son at the exact same time?
Yes. Listen.
Love it.
12-year-old.
I love you guys. Are y'all just staring at me and be like, yeah.
No.
12-year-old's imagination with a box of Matchbox cars or Hot Wheels cars. That's what's happening.
You know the part of that scene that really irked me? It wasn't Brie Larson and Jack Reacher talking with one another.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that they were showing clips from previous movies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that's so lazy.
Like the agency had cameras there to catch those exact shots.
Yeah. I know.
There's scenes from the movie. Oh, and boy. They were like, remember these movies? They were real.
Yeah,
it's an 8-year-old's daydream about his dad.
I'm
sticking to it.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. My whole theory is that it's like
the first movie
it's
is
like
legit.
a young Michael Bay wrote these.
Like, yes.
Like a very young Michael Bay.
Yes. I like that.
And maybe a young Christopher Nolan to help him a little bit.
Sure.
But because neither one of them make movies that make a lot of sense, but Nolan makes it believable.
My favorite physics breaking moment in this movie
is when
Dom is chasing the giant ball from Indiana Jones down the streets of Rome.
The physics were impressive on
this.
Okay,
listen, dude, this was incredible. So like the whole time they're using cars, gravity doesn't exist, and cars weigh 5,000 pounds and not, you know, whatever.
Sure.
He's going down the streets of Rome.
Cars are the answer.
Yes, yeah, cars.
Cars are heavier than two helicopters.
This is true. And they have their own gravity system. Anyway. So he's chasing this ball down this bridge, and everybody's like, you're not going to make it, Dom, turn around. And he's like, I don't believe in failure. And he shifts into the 18th gear.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he goes off a ramp, hits the ball. What does he?
He hits a crane.
He rams it and swings around. Hits the crane. The crane swings, hits the ball, and the ball goes into the water. And he just, instead of smashing into the concrete and going into the water, he He moves the crane out of the way and lands his car and drives away.
Of course.
That at that moment, I was
and outruns the blast.
Yes.
Everyone else literally incinerates.
Because it's not about the car. It's about the driver of the car.
Yeah. The big ball is actually like a neutron bomb. And so in order in order to save Rome and the Vatican, they have to shove it into the water
to mute the explosion. Rome is fucked anyway.
It's fucked anyway. Big hole in the middle of it.
All of your foundations need to be rebuilt.
I also love the moment where something explodes, the gas station explodes, and he's like, I have to save the people at the cafe. And he ramps his car up and knocks the partition down so that the flames bounce off of the cafe and everybody's still in there going, oh my God, what just happened? Yeah. I don't know why that was French. They're in Rome. They're not. I don't know how to do a Roman accent.
It felt like French, though. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Pasta vazio.
I blow my nose in your general direction.
Merci beaucoup, Dame Toretto.
Bread.
I think this movie was 2.5 hours. Yes. I believe we could talk for 8 straight hours about this movie.
It's completely ridiculous.
It's wild.
But they've been that way for a while. Well, my problem with this one is why, and we talked about a little bit about it, Fast 9 knew it was stupid, and it had so much fun being
dumb. It was just fun.
This one takes itself, like, tone-wise, it takes itself too seriously.
So there's a reason for that.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Is it the trilogy?
No, it's not the trilogy. Okay. So basically, Justin Lin, who had directed some of the best Fast and Furious movies, he did 5, 6, I think he did 9... So Justin Lin has been kind of the guy who resuscitated the Fast and Furious franchise. He made it more about the characters, more about the family, but he also made it more and more
ridiculous. All about the family, first of all.
Yes, but he's the one who kind of brought it to new heights of ridiculousness. And basically, he was the one who set the tone for, like, Fast 9, because Fast 9 was very self-aware. Mm-hmm. They were like, we're going to go to space. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
That's the best part of it.
I know, it was hilarious.
So funny. So
Justin Lin was supposed to direct this movie. And when they started production, he had some type of beef with Vin Diesel. And Justin Lin decided to quit the movie.
Oh, no.
So, you're telling me Vin Diesel's not that cool?
He has beefs with a lot of people, apparently.
But
Justin Lin quit. And so the studio had to scramble to find a new director for this movie. And the director that they settled on is Luc Besson's protege, a director named Louis Leterrier. He's the guy who directed the Transporter films.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
And so this director, when he came on board, he was like, you know what I want to do? He's French.
Oh.
You know what I want to do?
It's a perfect Roman accent, by the way.
I want to have a cafe and a wine.
Yeah, he's like, I want to make this movie more grounded and realistic.
Oh, shut up.
No, oh,
give me a break, man.
And so it was his take on trying to ground the material that made this movie so tonally weird.
That was the problem. That's the problem.
You're implying that this movie was poorly done because they were trying to make it too realistic
in tone.
The director wanted a more grounded, realistic take on the
material.
So
that people could relate to it.
Yeah, yes. You know, I did get that vibe, that it was very taken seriously and this was very accurate to reality.
But I got that vibe the entire time.
If I had a dime for every time I've chased a bomb down the streets of Rome.
Okay, real question. Who put that bomb in that truck?
The AI Momoa? Generator.
Yeah. Jason Momoa.
Exactly. There's no answer to that question.
No, there's no answer. There's a lot of questions that don't have answers.
But that's a big one.
Those two were driving that truck the whole time and didn't realize there was a bomb in it.
Or did they?
No, the truck was being... Oh, no. That's right. The two drivers...
Because then when they got back there, they were like, oh, shit, there's a bomb in here. Yeah. It's the whole size of the truck.
Yeah, it's giant.
You didn't notice it?
It was the Dark Knight Rises neutron bomb in the back of the truck. It's the exact same thing.
I hated that movie.
But at least they knew there was a neutron bomb in there. We know who put it there.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that, like, they have this super duper armored truck and they have to have this little RC race car to shoot gas into the ventilation system to knock the drivers out so that they can then climb on the side and just open the cab.
It's not just an RC race car. It's an RC race car with a bobblehead of Ludacris on it.
It was.
Which, did you notice that Jason Statham had a full-size version of that RC car in his garage?
I would like to talk for a moment about how much I hate Jason Statham.
Please. Oh, please, go ahead.
Take it away.
The fervor with which you hate Momoa is the intensity with which I hate Statham.
Is it because of Meg?
Him, yes. Him being in a movie has never been a draw for me. In fact, it's a... I'm going to have to pass on that because I hate him so much.
Can we get her to watch In the Land of the King?
I hate every single movie he's ever been in. I think if I saw him on the street, I would punch him in the face. He has destroyed the Meg. And it's not even his fault. He's just an actor who showed up for a job did his job. Yeah. But fuck him, and I hold him responsible.
Have you ever seen the video, a music video from the 90s where Jason Statham's in the background dancing around naked?
No.
What?
I got to put that in this video. I'm clipping it right now.
What?
That's amazing.
Is that that Christopher Lambert ball scene from Fortress? Yes. Like, did you guys ever see this?
Yes. Anyway,
how could you miss that?
Matt's entire talking point for the movie.
God, I'm gonna have to find a clip of that now.
He loves talking about people's balls that he's seen.
I've seen Christopher Lambert's balls.
Yeah.
I mean, they were right there.
They were right there.
Yeah,
in the movie, guys. Yeah. It was real. So check out our review of, what was it, Fortress?
Yeah, yes. Fortress.
Yeah, Fortress. Mm-hmm. Wow, what an incredible movie that was. anyway.
There can be only one.
There can be only one.
Child that you have.
Yeah.
Statham is lame, but as a side character, I don't hate him. I just don't want him to be the main character.
He was the main villain for like two movies.
I don't want that either.
That's a perfect example of nobody ever dying. He killed one of the main, was it Hans?
He killed Han.
Han died twice.
And then Han came
in
back.
This one?
Yeah, he's in this one.
He's the Asian guy.
He's just sitting at the picnic table. Like no one, he's never died.
He's fine. Wait, no, they're getting him back on the dating app.
Abuelita wants to speak. I love this family. I am dressed like I'm from Miami. And it was like,
oh, it's L.A., bro.
What the fuck is this movie about?
It's about family.
It's about family, bro.
No, it's not. I feel like Dom has like some weird like past that no one knows about. And like everyone like was like murdered in front of him and he grew up in a group home.
No. Fast 9 explores his past as a child.
Yeah,
I don't watch Fast 9. I don't think it matters.
It doesn't.
I don't think it matters.
No.
I don't even know who the grandma was. I was like, where did she come from?
Abuelita.
She's introduced in 9.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was so strange.
One of the most disappointing moments in this movie that I really felt like they could have went someplace. I think if Justin Lin had made this movie.
Justin Long?
Whatever his name is. Was it Justin Lin?
Justin Lin.
Justin Lin.
Justin Long to direct it.
Sure.
That's way better.
Throw him in there. Why not?
I don't want that.
No, throw Justin Long in there as his character from Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
All right, cool. Perfect.
I'm going to direct this movie.
Yes. With the flu and everything and the gay porn.
Everybody take out your balls.
He's already banged Superman. Yes. He could bang Groot. He could bang them all. Captain Marvel just starts banging everybody.
Where's Christopher Lambert?
Yeah. Anyway. I love his balls. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the most disappointing moment. If Justin Lin had directed this movie, I think this would have been pure comedic gold. But Han, at some point, eats an acid-laced muffin, and he starts tripping. And I'm like, I cannot wait for a freaking ball-tripping episode with a car down some street in some city. And they just forget. Just
went away.
He ate it, and then he was like, well, that's weird. And then they just forget that it happened. And I'm like,
that was most of the movie.
No, bring it back. That would have been so fun.
What you just explained accurately explains every 10 minutes of that movie.
Yes.
Every 10 minutes of that movie, it is like 40 shorts that they just shoved together.
Yeah.
It's because the kid playing with the matchbook cars has never been high, so he's just like, oh, that'd be funny.
See?
I don't know how to explain that, though.
Yep, right. There's another
next scene. There's
another feather in the hat for my theory. That's exactly what happened.
You are spot on with that theory. It's a very decent theory.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes sense.
If the third part of this ending trilogy isn't a flash...
Wait. This is a part 1 of 3?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, fuck that. How? They made this they didn't need to be 2.5. It could have been an hour and a half.
So originally,
it would have been better.
Originally, this was supposed to be part 1 of 2, but Vin Diesel was like, no, we're going to do 3.
It's going to be 3.
I got to buy another boat.
It's going to be 11 and 12. And that's going to be probably not the end.
And John Cena's still alive. Guaranteed.
I guarantee you.
He'll bring him back.
By the way, he talked that kid into murdering people with his cannon.
Loved it. Yep. Awesome. I love that cannon car.
Yeah, but
I want that.
The child did it. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, good job, buddy.
Yeah, we murdered.
And then he I don't know how these radios are connected. Everybody just has a radio.
Yeah.
Like, it's 1995. They're all just like, yeah. Hey, Dom, what's up?
Everyone has a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, everybody has a walkie-talkie.
And they all work. It's definitely not a radio. It's definitely a walkie-talkie.
Yes,
and how traumatized must this kid be because he lives his life. They're like, you know what to do.
He lives his life a quarter mile at a time.
Seriously.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, at the beginning, they're like, it's happening. You know what to do.
Oh, my God, yeah. And he doesn't
That's
do anything.
How you raise your kids.
But you know what's funny is so like there's a scene where they're where Uncle John Cena, Uncle Peacemaker, uh-huh. and the kid are on a plane,
and the kid is
having a tough time because as a baby he was kidnapped and thrown around on a plane when his dad was trying to save him
right.
from being
oh,
kidnapped.
Yeah.
And the stewardess who gives Uncle Peacemaker the alcohol,
mm-hmm.
that's Paul Walker's daughter.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know that. Good for them. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Moving on.
And he's got to be also traumatized because didn't Cypher murder his mother in front of him?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of mothers of that child.
Okay.
The entire Fast franchise, I was 100% sure Michelle Rodriguez was his actual sister in the thing. So when they start making out and grinding on each other and talking about putting babies in,
I thought
the little boy was their kid. And I'm just like... wait, what is happening right now?
Mia is his sister.
I don't know who Mia is.
Paul Walker's wife.
Was that the girl on the wall in Brazil?
No, that was the girl that was taking care of.
Who was the girl on the wall in Brazil?
Let me explain it to you.
Do the timeline. Yeah, yeah. Do the family tree.
See, oh, I need my whiteboard.
All right. So you remember the woman who was introducing the Abdullah or
Abuelita.
Abuelita
means little grandma.
Okay, that was
literally what
Vin Diesel's sister.
The old lady was?
No. The girl who kept saying...
The skinny chick.
Yeah, the skinny chick. So that's Paul Walker's wife.
Yes.
And Vin Diesel's sister.
Yes.
It's his...
From the first movie,
And then
that's his sister. Michelle Rodriguez isn't his sister.
No.
But his sister is in the movie.
Yes.
Just not in this movie very much.
So remember when John Cena first showed up and the agents are trying to kidnap the kid at the house and he's with his aunt?
Mm-hmm.
His aunt is... Vin Diesel's sister.
Yeah, but everyone's family. So I just figured it's uncles and aunts.
No.
When I realized that John Cena was literally Vin Diesel's brother, I'm like, this is stupid.
Oh my God.
No, it's terrible.
So
that's his sister. And then Letty, who's Michelle Rodriguez, is just a part of Vin Diesel's crew who he had an affair with and got romantic with.
They were in love.
Yeah. But then at a certain point, Michelle Rodriguez died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
like quote unquote died.
Uh-huh.
And then during that time, Vin Diesel started a relationship with The Rock's partner, who was a Brazilian police officer.
Uh-huh.
Got her pregnant, and then when Michelle Rodriguez came back from the dead
with amnesia, it's like One Life to Live.
Once Michelle Rodriguez came back, Vin Diesel's like, I still love her, and so like he left. But he didn't know he had impregnated The Rock's partner until she shows up with the baby. And then she gets murdered, and Vin Diesel has to adopt the baby, and Letty has to... Letty has to adopt the baby. And basically they form a new family.
I'm having so much fun right now. I love this franchise.
Okay,
it's so stupid.
So the skinny, hot race car chick from Brazil... just happened to be related to the girl knocked up.
Yes.
Randomly.
No, it wasn't random. So she's been honing her skills to meet Dom, right? And then the minute Dom sees her, he's like, oh, I recognize your sister in you. I knew from the moment. And that's why he chose to say her.
Because it's all about family.
Instead of his buddy
that
Jason Momoa planted bombs on. So.
Yeah, he let his friend die.
Though. No, that guy's fine.
He'll come back.
I don't know. That was.
I don't even know why they were racing to begin with.
There's no reason for it.
You should just been.
Oh, I know why.
Vin Diesel and Jason Momoa racing. I don't know why they needed two extra.
Because there was way too much bro in this movie. They needed to put some T. You know, some TNA.
Sure.
Yeah. There was just too much octane and muscle. They had to. And I'm just going to go ahead and say there needed to be a lot more female presence in this movie. Speaking for somebody who does not give a shit about equality or anything, I could have used a lot more girls on the screen. I'm just going to go ahead and say.
Dude, you had Charlize Theron. You had Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh, he hates Charlize Theron.
I met her before. That chick's feet are bigger than mine.
Yeah, you had Brie Larson. You had...
I'm 6'2".
There was a lot of... You had Missandei. You had a lot of women
in there. Keep rattling it off. What I'm saying is I needed more TNA. Yeah. I didn't need a woman.
So you wanted more...
I wanted more bikinis.
You wanted more Rio de Janeiro.
That scene was the only thing that seemed like it was Fast and Furious to me.
Yeah.
The rest of it is just some knockoff James Bond.
But these movies,
Mission Impossible bullshit. Right? Mission Impossible bullshit.
You can get away with a lot with PG-13.
Yeah,
I could have used. I could have used probably 45 more minutes of Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah,
racing, pink sheets, the whole deal. Like, give me all of that.
No, I don't want that many minutes.
Have Jason Momoa
just pepper him in. Michael Bay just peppers in girls in bikinis in the background of every scene of his movies.
It's true.
Every scene. There's just girls in bikinis in the background.
You think this movie would have been better if it was directed by Michael Bay?
Yep.
I don't know about that, buddy.
Oh, guaranteed.
I don't know about that.
We put a Transformers in there. Yeah. Megan Fox would have been
Six
in there.
Underground?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I saw that. You know what's funny, though? That's a rough one. So there are basically like three or four different storylines going throughout this movie.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons why it's so long is because like they have to kind of like wrap up and bring together all these things.
Did they?
No, they didn't. But I mean, this is the first part of a three-parter. So there's still a lot of stuff left to go. But basically, this movie is all about Jason Momoa's character. Before Jason Momoa's father dies, the villain from Fast Five, he says, "Don't kill your enemies, make them suffer."
Mm-hmm.
And so Jason Momoa's whole thing is about making Dom suffer by, you know, torturing his family and killing off his family and stuff like that. And so every part of this movie is about like Jason Momoa kind of like playing with Vin Diesel in the sense of like, how much can I make this guy suffer? And so he keeps putting him in positions where he's forced to like make a Sophie's choice as to like who to protect, like who to choose to protect, like what
part
of his
family. Doesn't seem to bother him that much though.
I'll tell you why. Because he's making cars a part of every single torture. If he invited bicycles or hiking or something, I think Vin Diesel would have been much more annoyed about the entire time. But the entire time is car related, so he just gets to have fun the whole time.
But that's the thing that he says at the end. You made one mistake. You didn't take my car.
Yes.
That's the whole deal. Yeah. Yes, that's his fatal flaw. He included cars in everything.
And my favorite part of every like Fast and Furious movie is when they're in the cars and they're doing stuff in cars. And the more ridiculous that they do things, the more I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole opening scene, like I remember when we watched Fast Five and they're pulling that humongous safe full of like gold and money behind two cars.
And it's just like slamming into businesses. Yeah.
And it's just like, there's no way those two cars would be able to pull that safe behind.
No.
Not even a little bit. And then, like, in this movie, you have basically Dom's car is harpooned by two helicopters.
Yes.
Two attack helicopters.
Say harpooned one more time for me.
Yeah, harpooned. and they're trying to, like, lift him up to, like, kind of neutralize him. Uh-huh. But somehow his car keeps
contact
with the road.
Yeah, torque or something.
And then, like, somehow, like, he's able to maneuver so that the helicopters crash into each other. And then he starts dragging the corpses of the helicopters behind him.
Yeah. Flaming wrecking balls.
Flaming wrecking ball. And then he starts moving his car so that those things swing around and hit the bad guys' cars.
Yeah.
I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I mean, come on.
Fantastic.
Exactly. I mean, come on.
Are you not entertained?
I mean, he drives his car out of the back of an airplane. Like 30 feet up, just like slams on the ground.
Yeah.
Cars
Mario,
fine.
Don't worry.
Yeah,
his spine doesn't compress.
Don't worry about how fast the jumbo jet's flying right now. You're going to land at 180 miles an hour.
Do you remember Fast 9 where basically like he like has some type of like rope that's like attached to his car?
Oh, and he harpoons the jungle thing?
He drives off a cliff and he swings around on that
thing. George of the Jungle style, bro.
And doesn't he like... I think it's Letty. It's somebody. I think it's Letty. Jumps from the motorcycle inside the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't mind the ridiculous stunts. What bothers me is it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
That's the biggest problem. Okay, so all jokes aside, like I love the ridiculous
action's
stunts.
Awesome and all
action's
that.
Action's just stupid fun.
Yeah.
Okay,
but the movie is
the problem
awful.
Is the story and the setup and the plot. It's literally like, okay, we have a 15-minute segment here and a 15-minute segment here, and they kind of connect. And then, like, oh, the story is Jason Momoa is a genius mastermind with unlimited funds. So it doesn't really matter how he does all these things because he just does them.
And for some reason, they had to go, like, to a zillion different places in this movie.
Oh, they just teleport there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like the next
day. Remember when they went to Porkagul?
Porkagul.
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 my secondary favorite moment, I guess, of all the things that happened was, there's no setup for this at all, but there is a little bit of a joke nod to it, is what did you call John Cena's character?
Uncle Peacemaker. Peacemaker.
Uncle Peacemaker, okay.
Perfect nickname.
He's got a 1992 Ford Mustang.
5.0,
right? It's yeah. My,
with the ragtop.
My brother-in-law.
So your hair can blow.
My brother-in-law had one of those. It's glorious. But he had this, like, kayak strapped to the top.
No, he didn't.
That and was no just, kayak.
Well, listen, though. That's I'm like, looking at I'm like, that's the shape of a kayak.
You call that
like,
a kayak?
He's got a kayak.
This is a kayak.
And there's no mention of it whatsoever. The kid's never like, hey, Uncle Peacemaker, why do you have a kayak on your roof? Nothing mm-mm. says anything. But he's dragging this thing around for 45 minutes out of this movie. Mm-hmm. He's got it on his shoulder. He's carrying it. I'm like, why is he taking this kayak
one
everywhere?
One strap, by the way. Just one little, strap. One little strap.
I mean, he's Uncle Peacemaker.
I mean, he's a brick shithouse. I get it.
Yeah. So he goes into the plane, and he just bag checks this thing, I guess. It's fine. Whatever.
50 pounds. It's fine.
He just bag checks it, and they strap it to the bottom of the plane. And so him and his kid, they sneak down to the bottom of the plane. They're down there, and I'm like, oh, there's this kayak. I don't know why. And he's like, check this out, kid. And he unwraps it. And it's like a space glider from James Bond. Mm-hmm. And he puts it all together. And he's like, we need fuel. And the kid grabs a bottle of rosé. And he's like, will this work? Because a 12-year-old playing with Matchbox cars doesn't know how alcohol works. Okay, and his uncle says, nope, we need Smirnoff. And he's got three airline...
Not a sponsor of this
not
movie.
Not a sponsor. Three airline-sized bottles of Smirnoff, apparently. Throws it into the gas tank. Places this thing together. Opens a hatch on the bottom of a commercial airline.
No, not a hatch. It is a bomb bay door.
Yeah, on the bottom of a commercial airline.
It's a movie Memphis Belle. just the whole thing opens up.
Drops out, opens the bat wing, and flies, and then turns the ignition on, and those three bottles of Smirnoff light off like a rocket, and he goes,
I'll tell you right now, I'll do three shots of Smirnoff right in front of you. I ain't flying.
I loved it. I'm like, this is glorious.
Oh, boy.
So... my favorite part of this movie was every time John Cena was on screen. His whole thing about singing Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yes.
It was gold.
Great.
So like every time he was on screen, I was really enjoying this movie.
I will watch anything that he's in.
I genuinely got excited when the home invasion thing started, when they were trying to kidnap the child. And there's no setup for it at all.
Just body just
you just
fly.
See a body just go whoom, and I'm like, oh, yes! And then John Cena pops up, and I'm like, da-da-da-da!
And his name was John Cena. Like,
give me more!
He body slammed a guy through a floor.
He did.
That whole scene, I mean, he murdered, like, quasi bad good guys.
Sure,
I don't understand.
They were all
it.
They all had masks on, so they weren't really people.
No,
they're
all the
robots.
Same guys. They just transport them to all the different places where they have to get beat up.
They are legit henchmen.
Yeah,
it's like, there's 12 of them, and they go just everywhere. Keep going. You're number 12. Get in there.
I loved it. But that seriously though, I did get excited when that freaking that body went flying, and I was like, here comes John Cena. So much fun.
And my biggest criticism of this movie was the fact that there was no Kurt Russell in it.
Mm. Yeah.
Is he dead?
They replaced Kurt Russell with Brie Larson.
No, he can't be.
they replaced Kurt Russell with Brie Larson. And in the last movie, they kind of faked out that like he was dead or missing or whatever. I don't know why Kurt Russell isn't coming back for these movies. Maybe he has a beef with Vin Diesel.
He could be coming back eventually.
He could.
So there's going to be 6 more hours of this movie.
See, my theory...
At least.
My theory is that Mr. Nobody's Return has something to do with Gal Gadot showing up.
Oh, he's on the nuclear submarine.
Is Gal Gadot a good girl?
Yeah.
She's part of the team.
Wait, which team?
So she,
Ben Diesel.
Fast team.
So Gal Gadot died in mm-hmm. the sixth movie.
And she and Han were a thing.
Yeah, and so Han was all broken up about her death, and he wanted revenge on Shaw, because he blamed Shaw for her death.
Mm.
And so in this movie, when he went to Shaw for help and they had like that little like fight, that was because there's a lot of history there where basically Shaw killed Han and Han's girlfriend.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that adds
You're doing
up.
Great, Tom.
I'm following along. I should have took notes, honestly.
I don't know what else to say. I had less fun watching this movie than I did 9. I think 9 was a better, a more fun movie.
Yeah, like if people go and check out our review of Fast 9, like we were glowing.
We loved it.
I loved it.
We were gushing all over it.
This movie's not as good. Not because it's not like as ridiculous. It's equally as ridiculous.
It's just not as silly.
It's not as. It doesn't. It's less self-aware.
And
somehow.
It's got Brie Larson in it.
And it has Brie. They downgraded from Kurt Russell to Brie Larson.
So much.
Oh, she's unlikable.
Can you tell me that she's good in this movie?
She's unlikable and everything.
I wouldn't say that she's great in anything, but the venom that you guys have anytime she is mentioned or does anything, you guys hate her much.
That red
like,
carpet
he hates Jason Momoa. How I hate Jason Statham.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Jason Statham hating Jason, I understand that. I understand that. I understand why you hate Brie Larson. She is not likable. She's a good-looking girl.
Sure.
But I need more.
She's a pill.
I need more. And pill. Speaking of that, so there's a scene in this movie where Charlize Theron tries to break out of the agency black site. And Michelle Rodriguez just happens to be there, you know, because Little Miss Nobody, you know, orchestrated this.
Nobody Junior.
Yeah. They have a fight, right? Like Cypher and Letty have a fight because they have like a long history.
It was a good fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That fight was done without the director. Like that entire scene, because Louis, you know, all the chaos of the production with Louis Leterrier, I don't know how to pronounce his name, came in late. So like they had to be shooting a bunch of different stuff. And so basically Michelle Rodriguez and Charlize Theron directed themselves in that fight scene.
It was pretty good. I mean, it didn't make any sense because, like, for some reason, the ventilation controls were on her bed.
It was amazing.
And she was just, like, with one hand.
She couldn't even, not even look at it.
Well, Jude was like, what was with those laser robots?
Oh, one scene, the laser robot tried to kill somebody, and then it just
Charlize Theron programmed it to be on her side for, like, 4 seconds.
Off her bed, the same control. The same control does the ventilation system and the death robot.
I forgot about that shit. That was the most outrageous scene because she just, like, laying there, like, oh, you can't do this? Oh, and just poisonous gas, knocks everybody out. And she's like, okay, I have a whole plan to escape Antarctica. She's like,
but I love this. I love the fact she's like, hey, listen, we need to get out of here because those guys are going to wake up in 4 minutes. 3 days later, they're still knocked out, and we completely forgot that there was henchmen.
Next scene is Michelle Rodriguez climbing a 900-foot shaft with one leg.
It took longer to wake up than it took anyone to travel to Portugal or Rome.
Or Antarctica.
Antarctica.
She goes up. So Michelle climbs her way up through the ventilation shaft, opens the hatch, and is just like, oh man, I'm in Antarctica. Closes the hatch, goes back down the 900-foot shaft.
And Charlize Theron is like, told you so.
Here's a snowsuit.
Yeah.
And then they climb back up.
Yeah. To walk out.
To walk away.
That's her plan.
And those guys still don't wake up.
Still don't wake up.
Beautiful.
Well, they climb out to hitch a ride on a nuclear submarine.
They knew that was going to be
there. Piloted by Gal Gadot.
I hope she's the only one in there. I really do. It's just her.
Well, it's like Reacher's plane, right? It just flies itself.
It's all automated. Yeah, I love it.
It probably takes 90 people.
She has like a tablet.
To operate.
There's a tablet with everything on it. She's like, oh, we need more speed.
We should probably talk about the cliffhanger ending.
Sure.
On this movie.
Oh, the damn. That damn, dude. Glorious scene.
Well, everyone's dead.
Sure.
Except for the girls.
So basically all the family members who were coming from London... Tyrese, Ludacris, Missandei, all those guys.
Missandei.
I don't even know her name in the movie.
Yeah. Nah.
She's always Missandei.
Yeah. So like they're on a plane. And they're flying over the dam to rescue Dom. And they're like, hey, Dom, we're here. And then like Reacher reveals himself to be a double agent bad guy.
I'm a bad guy now. Yeah. Now I'm a bad guy.
And he uses a shoulder mounted rocket to hit the plane, which actually has pilots, by the way. So. The plane then goes behind a mountain, and you hear a crash.
But again, where did that plane come from?
London.
No. Where did
Shaw
had that plane?
Yeah, Shaw has.
He has planes?
Yeah, so if you don't know.
I don't know.
So first of all, Helen Mirren is his mother.
Oh, that's right. I guessed Helen Mirren.
Her name's Queenie.
Of course.
Number two, he is super rich. Like, he's stolen billions of dollars worth of money.
All the bad guys are always rich.
Well, that adds up to the homosexual fight club.
But he also has a huge network of a criminal enterprise that gives him money, power, access, all this stuff. So he had a plane, and when he was leaving to go to his mother because she was in danger, he was like, you guys can have my plane.
He said that?
Yes, he said that.
Because it's all about family.
So anyway, they're flying over this dam in the middle of somewhere. And Jack Reacher blows it up with a rocket launcher.
It's in Portugal.
It's in Portugal?
Yeah, it's in Portugal.
Oh, cool.
It's a Portuguese dam.
Great.
Which is also where the Brazilian, half Samoan raised in Portugal, psycho Jason Momoa is from.
Right. Sure.
This movie sucks.
They blow up the plane. The plane crashes. None of them are dead, right? Except for the two pilots. Those are the only two deaths.
Two pilots
that.
Are probably
they're
dead.
Oh, they're dead.
Everybody else is fine. They probably jumped out and...
I'm assuming they all just drove out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. This is my favorite... One of my favorite shots in the movie is when... So Jason Momoa's got Dom and his boy stuck on the dam, and he's got two, like, explosive trucks on either side, and he's driving them towards him remotely, mind you, with a joystick.
Yeah.
And he's like, ha-ha, I've got you now, Dom. And he's like, you didn't take away my car. And he does a wheelie, which is, for the record... is a thing that Dom's car is known to do.
Yeah, he did it in the very first movie.
Did it in the first movie. So yeah. There's a callback there, and I really appreciated that. Yeah. He does a wheelie off the dam and outruns an explosion of these two trucks that, like, spills down the side of the dam. And there's a scene where it goes inside the car, and it's completely terrible CGI of Dom's, like, veiny arm holding the steering wheel, and he's just like, yeah. And it's like, it goes into the engine, and the engine sucks up the NOS, and then he outruns the explosion, and then jumps off the dam into a rocky bed of water, survives completely unharmed with his child, gets out, and then he looks up, and he sees that the dam is now going to explode, because there's also... bombs on the dam.
The circle bombs that are everywhere.
These ones are like the size of cars. Yeah. They're giant.
No explanation.
Doesn't matter. The entire dam is basically wired to blow.
Right. Yeah.
And how he ended up on the dam?
He was driving there because Jason Momoa knew he was going to end up on that road, so he led him to this dam because he had a plan the whole time.
But also, John Cena sacrifices himself in order to allow Dom to get to that point.
Yeah, he'll be back though.
He's fine.
He had like four roll cages on that thing. I'm sure he's good.
It was engulfed in flame, but he's sure fine.
He had like gel or something.
he had a fire suppression system inside of it. He's just
have you seen Death Proof?
he steps out as
you
if
really got to be on this side of the car.
Dude, if they get Kurt Russell back for the next one or the third one or whatever,
Stuntman Mike?
He has to be Stuntman Mike.
Oh, my God. He gets the car back?
Yes, he gets the car back with the Yes. Anyway, so he survives. God, I'm snotting. It's so funny. He survives all of this with his kid, and then the dam blows up. And then that's where the movie ends. And I walked out at that point because I'm not interested in a post-credit scene. I have no idea. The assumption is that Dom is going to die due to the massive amounts of water and debris that are going to come crashing down on him. I'm sure he gets out. There's probably a hatch.
Yeah, I mean, Ludacris, Tyrese, and Missandei just roll up in their cars and rescue him.
Sure.
Yeah. And then they outrun the huge...
No,
wave.
They roll up on a surfboard.
Oh, riding the wave.
Yes.
Yes.
Also like Kurt Russell.
Yes.
This movie just keeps getting worse. I love it.
Oh my God.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the end credit scene.
You guys go ahead. I haven't even watched it.
Well, prepare to be amazed. So, all right. So as we know, the character of Hobbs, played by The Rock, left the franchise. I think it was around movie 6. And he left because he was beefing with Vin Diesel.
Yeah, what's the deal between them?
I don't know. Vin Diesel is just like a jerk who has beefs with like a lot of people.
Personally, I think it's all marketing.
Well, anyway, The Rock publicly stated he's like, I'm out of the Fast and Furious franchise. I don't want anything to do with it because I hate Vin Diesel. And so everyone was everyone was asking him, and it's like, are you ever going to come back to the franchise? He's like, no, I'm done with it. Even though like you know like he did like a spinoff. You know, Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah. So in the end credit scene, the hotel room where Cypher had like her little operation in LA, agents or some type of law enforcement agency storms it. And they're all like tactical unit guys and they got masks on. They're walking around and looking for something, I guess. They never really explain why they're there. Then one of them branches off, goes into a room and finds... a bunch of TV screens talking about, you know, Hobbs. And then, you know, you hear Jason Momoa on a phone making threats, taunting. And then the guy pulls his mask down and it's Hobbs. It's The Rock. Mm. The Rock is returning for the next movie because he's going to be Momoa's next target. And so he's going to inevitably team up with Shaw and... The Toretto
gang. The Toretto gang.
And only the combined might of the family will be able to take down.
And some cars.
Yeah. Jason Momoa.
A lot of cars.
But that was the big reveal in the end credit scene is that The Rock is back.
Okay, cool.
The Rock with a gray beard, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, rocking his gray chin hair. Like, what is that all about?
Perfect. Aging gracefully.
Yeah, he is.
I think the Black Adam thing took a lot out of him.
It's all that HGH.
Yeah. He turned himself into a creature. Like, it was wild looking.
Yeah, no.
He was really effed up looking in that movie. Like, really ripped.
Doesn't look human anymore.
No, it was wild.
That's a lot
of drugs.
It's
just all veins.
Yeah, it's a lot of drugs.
Yeah, it's a lot of veins. Yeah.
Anyway.
Vascular.
So my final thoughts on this movie are it's trash. It's absolute garbage. But I had so much fun watching it. I think it's less enjoyable than 9. So if you really if you're like us and you really enjoyed 9 because it was like self-aware and kind of goofy, that's not what you're going to get in this one, which is unfortunate. I'm hoping maybe they can kind of turn that around for the other two. We'll see. I personally feel like my money was well spent. If you want to spend $13 going to an IMAX theater and watch this movie, you will be entertained, but turn your brain off.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any care in the world about physics and gravity and good plots and characterizations and stuff like that, you're not going to like the movie. But if you just want to see some cool shit on the screen, that's what you're going to get.
What's your rating? We haven't done a rating in a while.
I don't know how to rate this movie because, like, as somebody who likes to talk about movies and judge them and critique them or whatever, not that I'm a movie critic, but
sure
it's not a good movie. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's just fun. So if you, I don't know how to judge it. Like, a 1 on the good scale and a 7 out of enjoyment, maybe.
It's one of those movies where if you watch it by yourself in a movie theater, you're hating life for sure. But if you're in your living room with 5 of your friends and you're all drinking the entire time,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Can I use a Jeremy Johns reference? It's a good time if you're drunk. Yeah, now is a party like that. Yeah, that's my judgment.
You don't need to pay attention to it.
No.
You could sit in a room and make fun of every scene, the entire movie, and then find it much more enjoyable. So
you do
not need to go by yourself and enjoy the cinema. It's not going to happen.
No.
I went to the concession twice during the movie. I don't feel like I missed anything.
I don't think there's anything to miss. Well, yeah. I mean, there's tons. I mean, it just doesn't seem to matter. Nothing matters.
nothing really matters.
come on. Feel it.
Final thoughts there, Tom.
I think I just gave them.
Okay.
It's if you think that you're going to go and watch a well thought out movie that's going to win some awards.
Have you watched the rest of them? Is my question.
No, I have not. It is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
At no point did I go, well, I wasn't prepared for this bullshit. For only seeing previews, and it felt like NASCAR fans love this shit. And if you watch any other sport, you don't understand why anybody watches NASCAR. And I think it's just very down that line. If you love NASCAR, you love Fast and Furious.
Okay.
If you don't understand NASCAR, you will not understand Fast and Furious.
Well, Tom, as someone who went into this movie having never seen any other Fast and Furious movie with no context whatsoever, like, what's your take on the franchise after having seen this one movie?
Oh, God. Honestly, there's way too many people in it.
Yeah.
There was this movie called Silverado. Do you guys ever see Silverado?
Oh, I love Silverado.
Silverado. Okay. Mm-hmm. The problem with Silverado is there's 30 named actors in the movie, so everybody has to get camera time. So the problem with this stupid shit movie is even Pete Davidson had to get extra camera time because everyone's a name. Everyone's a name, so everyone has to have their little scene. They have to do this little thing.
He was in this.
Yeah, well, good. His character was completely pointless.
Yeah.
There was no reason for him to be in the movie.
You could have cut out that entire scene.
Didn't even matter.
Wouldn't have mattered.
Mm-mm. So just because there's so many named people in it, I'm guessing probably in like 2 or 3 or 4, it could have been a better movie to write. Because now, okay, Rock needs to have at least 30 lines in this movie, and John Cena has to flex twice and punch a hole through a wall. And,
I need a camera for my muscles.
Michelle Rodriguez has to be attractive yet mean. It's just they all have to have these things because they're all such named actors.
Give me more. It's
Michelle Rodriguez. Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez.
No.
Oh. What if Robert Rodriguez directed the next one?
Probably be better.
I'm watching that.
It would be much more low budget.
Give me everything Michelle Rodriguez.
I love Michelle Rodriguez. Oh, I love me some Michelle Rodriguez.
Can we talk?
The way he picks her up is a throwback to the first one.
Oh, cool. That was a really awkward. It looked like he picked up his sister. It was awkward. Like, has Vin Diesel ever touched a woman? I've heard he hasn't.
Only in the movies.
Yeah. But no, it's terrible. It sucks. Watch it at home with a group of people who will drink beer and laugh at a movie. And it is fun. It is an action movie 10 stars out of 10 stars action as an action movie, as a film, as a as me trying to understand it, as the 11th or 12th installment of this franchise. I have no clue. It was non-linear. It made no sense at all. They all were clean and well-dressed the entire time and poor and $900,000 cars. I don't get it.
okay.
And then I found out it's a goddamn part one of three.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that Tom has never seen any of the movies. No. We all have seen all of the movies, and we all had the same experience when we went.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You can walk in and be like, yep, that was what I saw.
Yeah, Tom texted me, and he's like, I've never seen any of these movies, and I have so many questions. And I'm like, I've seen all of them, and I have a ton of questions, too.
Yeah. Jude, final thoughts, and I wanted to remind you about the wedding for Dom and his outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Please.
Okay. Final thoughts.
Now I know what I'm wearing when I get married.
I was super excited.
I still have to pick out what I'm getting married.
Perfect.
I think you know.
Yep.
But you also have to wear a sorting hat. So it's.
I was super excited for this movie. Like, I was jazzed the whole day. I was like, going to see it tonight.
Yeah, yeah,
going
to see it tonight. Jason Momoa.
Going to see it tonight. I think I'm over him, to be honest. But
it was a lot of Momoa.
He's not on my bucket list anymore. I mean, I'd still hit it if I had the chance, but I'm not seeking it anymore.
I'd have sex with Roseanne Barr if I had the chance. It doesn't mean I want to.
Anyway, I think I was more excited than the movie deserved.
Okay.
It was still fun. Sure. It wasn't as good as 9, and I was hoping, like, as much as I enjoyed 9, I wanted this to, like, give me even more, and it just didn't. It fell short, so... For me, 1 to 5 stars, it's probably middle of the road. It's like a 3-star movie because it was really enjoyable. God damn it, Tom. I am speaking.
Stunt cock.
it was really enjoyable, but I wanted more, and I was a little bit disappointed, but ultimately I had a good time.
Okay, cool. Wedding outfit? Can we please talk about that?
The wedding outfit I give 5 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
And I don't think, like, it was so quick, but I was like, did he? I don't think it was a tank top. I think he ripped the sleeves off of his wedding outfit.
Oh, I thought it was a white beater.
No, it was an undershirt. So basically, at the beginning of this movie, when Dom and Letty are together in their bedroom, there are pictures in their bedroom of their wedding, and she's in a bride outfit with like
a wedding
veil.
Dress.
Yeah.
She's and, glorious.
And Dom is in white pants with a wife beater. Yeah. On.
I think he's wearing sunglasses
and they're at like a little pagoda where they're getting married with like, you know, the officiant. And he's just there, he's like, you know, sun's out, guns out with his wife beater.
He's obviously flexing.
I need a picture of me and my muscles in this movie, or I'm not coming to set.
Yeah. Listen, the amount of times that Vin Diesel was overly flexing around other more jacked actors was hilarious. There's a scene where him and Jack Reacher, and the actor who plays Jack Reacher,
that dude's hoss.
Think he is a freaking brick.
Yeah,
like, that dude could probably give The Rock a run for his money. He's freaking huge.
That's a big ass dude.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
I want to know what the buckle on his shirt was for. That's my other question.
It was his gun sleeve.
There was no thing attached.
Yeah, it was there.
Anyway, so
Tom had the answer.
There was a scene.
I thought the same thing.
There's a scene where Jack Reacher captures Dom and he's like, "All right, Dom, get in the truck." And they both get into this like paddy wagon at the same time.
Yeah. Don't bother to handcuff him.
No,
he doesn't handcuff him. Oh my god, that was my favorite. He just like puts a leg up on the seat across from him. I'm like, why doesn't he handcuff him?
It doesn't matter. So they're walking in together, and you could obviously see that the Jack Reacher dude is freaking yoked, and Toretto's just going there. And his like veins are all popping out because he's holding his breath. Hilarious.
That's real.
Loved it. Kadish, final thoughts. Give it a rating.
Yeah. So you guys ever see that meme on YouTube where the guy like eats like the chicken sandwich and he's like, "My disappointment is immeasurable."
My disappointment is immeasurable, and my day is ruined.
That's pretty much how I view this movie. Where, you know, I had so much fun with Fast 9. And Jude and I did this thing a while back where we sat down, we watched all the Fast and Furious movies back to back.
That was a little tough.
Did you like them?
We marathoned them. I think we hit like 5 in one day.
Whew.
Yeah. It was a little hard by the end.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But 9 was so good. 9's funny. It made it worth it.
And I'd say that the best movies in the franchise are 5, 6, and 7. Those were Justin Lin's films. They had kind of like the through line with like Hobbs and stuff like that. So there are good movies in the series. Fast 8 kind of like took a weird detour. I didn't like it that much. But Fast 9 just was so self-aware and so ridiculous. It was so much fun to watch. And we all walked out of that movie like it's garbage, but mm-hmm. it's fun.
Uh-huh.
So fun.
I felt like this movie wasn't fun. I feel like it was slack-tion to the mm-hmm. nth degree. Like, the ridiculousness of 9 was offset by the fact that they knew how ridiculous it was, and they were kind of feeding into it. Louis Leterrier's choice to make this more grounded and realistic was completely the wrong choice.
Unsuccessful.
Yeah, because it robbed the campiness from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And these movies need to be campy.
Yeah.
Right? They need to lean into the whole, like, I don't have friends, I have family, like, type thing, you know? Like, I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Uh-huh.
Like, all this stuff that, like, we joke about and meme about from the Fast and Furious, like, needed to be in this movie, and it wasn't.
You know what I think could have saved it, though? Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I hope he's in the next one.
Well, he can save any movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, no Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Scott Eastwood disappears after the first, like, 10
That's
minutes
weird.
Of the movie.
I forgot about
yeah.
that.
He's billed really high, too. Yeah. They put his name in, like, the opening thing. I'm like, oh, Scott Eastwood's in this?
Well, he's been in, like, a ton of them, right?
I didn't know that.
like, Brie Larson coming into the franchise.
Out of nowhere.
Is this her first one?
Yeah, first one.
Oh.
Yeah, and she just took me out of the movie constantly. Jason Momoa's overacting. Like, I really didn't like his performance in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the action, because it was so ridiculous, but there wasn't any, like, self-awareness involved with it, really got on my nerves. So overall, like, I didn't have any fun watching this movie.
Oh, babe.
Yeah. So basically, I got to give it maybe like 1.5, 2 stars out of 5.
That's fair.
Because, I mean, out of the entire Fast franchise, this is definitely one of the lesser entries.
Okay, that's fair. That's actually probably the most accurate rating. I kind of agree with everything that you just said, but I had, I guess, a lot more fun than you did because I did enjoy watching the ridiculous stuff.
I had more fun right now.
Yeah. Sitting down and talking about it with four friends
but
is way more
fun. But talking about terrible movies is better than talking about a good movie.
That's what we do.
Right? Talking about a terrible movie is way more fun than talking about a good movie every single time.
Well, I got a double Tito's on the way in.
Perfect.
And then midway through, I went to the concession. Cool. I was like, I'll just have a single. And he was like, eh, we'll make it a double.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, great.
he's like, wait, you're seeing Fast 10? We'll make it a double.
Do you want to know my exact thought process before I went and saw this? Because I was going to like have a drink or something else. And I'm like, you know, I want to be dead sober for this because I got to talk about it. I want to be able to take this in, really pay attention. And I'm like, you know what? I should have been drinking the entire time.
Yeah, you should have been.
You guys should have prepped me better.
My first text message to Tom on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. was, want to get drunk and go see Fast 10 on Saturday? That's the way you have to watch it.
Yeah.
You have to watch it drinking.
Well, I tried to get him to go with us, but he had game tickets, which
Oh, man. Go Knights Go, by the way.
Yeah.
can we throw that in there? It's been 2 awesome games so far. Yeah. I went to one of them. It was really
I can't
awesome.
Wait to go again. I love going to those hockey games. They're awesome.
Well, we're in the playoffs now.
That's awesome. Anyway, that's it for Fast 10. I guess if you want to spend $13 to be ridiculously entertained, grab a drink on the way in. Yeah. And you
I
might
mean,
be
we're
okay.
all going to go see the next 2.
100%. Yeah, for sure.
Tom's in.
I really want to reiterate, if the internet can do its thing, pass this theory around, I want it to become a thing. I want the last movie, at least the last 15 minutes, to be, oh, this was all a daydream by Dom's kid who's playing with a box of cars. Please make that happen. I would love it.
Considering you're someone who famously hates children in movies, that's quite the
But it's so it thing. Fits so perfect what and if it we explains
get, what,
everything.
What if we get like a Lego movie scene where it's like you realize that it's like just like Will Ferrell and his Lego set?
That's, what,
like,
that's exactly oh. what yeah.
yeah.
That's
no,
what I'm referencing.
No, it's fine.
It's like like the Toy Story.
Yeah.
I really hope they get Mark Wahlberg to take up a role in the next 2 movies.
Oh man.
What if we get the Expendables
you know, this guy was
franchise?
An underwear model, right?
Hold on a second. Have they ever been to Vegas in the Fast and Furious movies?
I want to say yes.
I feel like they should have been.
I don't know if I can.
I can't remember a single
scene. They missed
a
chance to drag race down the strip.
Dude, F1. F1 is coming here. How was that not a perfect opportunity for them to come and just film some shit? Mm-hmm. Like, all the sets will be over there. We'll have, like, a little race scene with an F1 car. Perfect.
I think Vin Diesel's beefing with Vegas. So.
All right.
On that note.
On that note, folks, thanks for watching the review. Stay tuned. We're going to be back talking about our favorite movies that are coming. We got Indiana Jones 5 coming out pretty soon. We're going to be busy this summer. We're going to be busy this summer.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Marvel movies in our next episode.
Yes. All right, folks. As always, stay salty. Thank you for letting us entertain you. Tom, say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, everybody. It's always a pleasure to be here talking about movies I do not want to watch, but I do get the opportunity to. So, you know, I love movies. I love the opportunity to talk about them. You can't find me anywhere, so good luck.
They can find you on Facebook.
How do you have a Facebook account?
Because I have people that, look.
He's got family.
I would expect Tom's like an anti-social media guy. Uh-huh. I would expect you to have like a Minds account or like some bull crap.
You
like,
act like I use this stuff. Like, my Facebook's only to like keep track of like old friends. I would feel like a total dick move. Like, the only people I know. This is like a dick move. I gotta keep it. You know, I don't use it for anything. But.
Yeah, they're still using your data, though. I'll tell you that much.
Don't I know it?
All right, Juice, say goodbye to the people.
Bye, guys. It's been a blast, and I loved having Tom in the studio today.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, first time in the studio.
Yeah.
No one in the living room stuff.
What a movie.
Wow.
What a movie to pick. Kadesh, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people. Thank you for tuning in. You know, our content release schedule got a little bit screwed up because we got robbed. They broke into our studio.
We got robbed! And,
but we're trying to get back on track with these things, so thank you for sticking around, and thank you for all your support.
Stay salty, my friends.